Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on April 6th, 2017. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a really beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For additional information, visit their website at academyofforeignlanguages.com, that's all spelled out, or call 310-975-4133.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose, that's what we talk about here on the South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well this morning, Joe. I wanted to ask you, did you get my weekend guide this morning?
Yes, I did, but it's Lent, Jackie. I'm on Lent for Easter, so I'm trying to avoid the news.
Well, mine's not so much news as, you know, you got to make your – I can't believe you consider my weekend guide news. I don't know. That's a good thing?
It is very newsy, and all the news that's fit to print.
Yeah, but it's really fun news. It's the fun stuff.
Except for one thing, that sailboat crash that you were telling me about.
Yeah, I cannot believe you have not seen this video. All right, real quick, March 31st, I believe it was last Thursday, you know how out of King Harbor they do the races, the local yacht clubs, they have their weeknight racing, Tuesday nights, yeah. Thursday nights, Saturday, Sunday mornings and stuff. Anyway, last Thursday it was very, very windy out and there was quite a swell. And one of the sailboats that was racing, the last leg of the race is coming back in to the harbor. And it got, they had some sort of malfunction with the boat. And there's video of it. And I found an extended video of it that I put in my weekend guide this morning. So you can go and look at that later. Anyway, the boat got sideways. It was very close to the Redondo Pier. A wave came, upended it, and launched the crew out of the boat. And this was right into the pier. I mean, it's amazing footage. Every time I look at it, I cringe. But fortunately, everybody survived. There was no, you know, life-threatening injuries. I believe one guy dislocated his shoulder. You know, I'm sure they were banged up a little bit, but there were four people in the boat. Everybody survived. It made the national news. I mean, it was on the
wow.
I mean, I saw it on several national news outlets. And it was funny because yesterday or the day before, a friend of mine that lives on the East Coast posted the video to his Facebook page, and he just wrote, wow, you know, I wonder if these guys are okay. And it's a friend of mine. They've actually come to visit. They've stayed at my home. And I typed in, I said, you do realize this was in Redondo? And he was like, oh, my goodness, no. And I said, yeah. So he was like, is everybody okay? I said, yeah, they're all fine. But anyway, it was just an amazing video. It's on my Facebook page, and it's in my weekend guide today. So, and I've already had a couple of people text me saying, wow, I didn't see that video, which is amazing to me, you know, because it was all over the place.
Right after Easter. I can't wait to see it.
So you're not – wait, so, you know, this is – I've never heard of anybody doing that. You're laying off from news for Lent.
Yes. It's our church has given us all sort of a list of things that we could abstain from or basically fast from. It's not about fasting for the body. It's about spending more time thinking about God. So you got to cut something out. And my wife and I, we just watched a lot of news. And so we decided to give up news, TV, no movies for 3 weeks.
No movies? Wow.
Nothing. Yeah.
not even any of the biblical epics. You're not allowed to watch, you know, Ben-Hur or The Last Temptation of Christ or
I don't know about that. I suppose we could squeeze those in, but no, we're just not doing anything for pleasure. Nothing like that, which for us news junkies, we were news junkies. And I don't know what Donald Trump is doing. I don't know what the Congress is doing. I don't know anything about that. And I'm glad.
You know, I agree with you. You know something? Because the election, you know, it actually started whenever it was that Trump said that he was going to run. You know, so that's over a year and a half ago, maybe a little more. And you're right. You're right. We've all been glued to our TVs since then. And then, of course, we had our local election cycle and, you know, just a lot of – yeah, and you're right. You're right. We've all been glued to the TV. That's actually a really good idea. That's a good idea, just take a break from news. Now, does this include internet? Like, are you not on Facebook or Twitter or anything? You're not
– No. No, I just – you know, my farming business and is just internet-based. And of course, we have a group that we're – shepherding a meetup for whole food, plant-based lifestyle. So, no, I have to do a little internet, but I don't follow the other links about news and stuff like that.
That's interesting, Joe, because, you know, most people give up, you know, sweets, soda, saturated fats.
Yeah. True.
So,
I gave up meat. How about, does that count?
Yeah, actually it does. Yeah, yeah. You're supposed to deprive yourself of something you enjoy.
Right.
That's what Lent is all about. Suffering. You're supposed to suffer.
100% whole foods, plant-based, WFPB.
Really? I know several people that have done that. And, you know, hey, you know our friend Jill Brunkhard?
Sure.
Yeah, she went to I believe she was diagnosed with diabetes, you know, one of the types of diabetes.
Yeah.
And she went on a whole food diet. Boy, does she look great. She got that under control. And she's just been but you haven't been following the internet, so you don't see what she's doing, but She's been praising, you know, how much it's done for her and how great she feels.
Yeah, yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I think that's part of it for us, but the other part is just, you know, it's good for us, good for the planet.
Well, the saga of my green drink. You know, we've been talking about that. Remember, I told you I wanted to find a green drink that I liked And everything that I didn't realize it, but there was so much sugar in these drinks. And I don't know if I told you, I went to my doctor. Well, I was there in January, and there were a couple of numbers she was concerned about. And she said, I want you to come back in 3 months, you know, and have them take your blood so we can look at these numbers again. And my sugar was fine in January. Well, that was when I started drinking these green drinks. And when I went to see her in March – yeah, just last week, my sugar went through the roof. She was like, "What's going on with your sugar numbers?" And it was because I was drinking these green drinks.
Oh,
and I looked at the label, 48 grams of sugar, 52 grams of sugar. I was like, "Oh my God, that's like more than soda." So I went and I, you know, went to buy some more, and I looked at all the different versions, and I found one. And it's only 4 grams of sugar, and it's organic, organic greens and kale, and I like it. It's really good. I've been drinking one or two a day, and I'm very happy with it.
I think what we're in is a radical period of reevaluation of what the standard American diet, sad, the standard American diet is going to be. And people are at a huge level, people are waking up to what the possibilities are. Whole Foods is doing its part. They're starting to have classes. They're starting to have seminars. I mean, I think, the information's out there for those people that want to know. Some people don't want to know, though, Jackie.
Oh, I know. Speaking of juice, that's a good segue here for today's show, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jumpin' jive. Not of J words. Jumpin', jive, jalopies. Jackie, who's our guest today?
Our guests this morning are Kobe Apre. I'll have to make sure I get the how to say it correctly. Kobe Apre and Marisol Rios from the Automobile Driving Museum. Kobe has been the special events director for the ADM for the last 2 years. She manages and books all private events at the museum and runs the logistics for all in-house events. She has over 10 years of experience running a wide variety of events in differing types of venues, and she has a dual master's in international sports management. Now, Marisol Rios is the marketing and operations assistant and docent manager at the ADM. She handles everything from museum events such as car shows and educational events to bringing in new docents and coordinating with them on helping and maintaining the vehicles. Marisol also handles social media, promoting the events, and administrative tasks. She has worked at 5 different museums before moving to the ADM, which has provided her with the experience necessary to manage this great museum right here in the South Bay. Now, this morning, we're going to learn about an upcoming event at the Automobile Driving Museum. It's called Jalopies at the Juice Joint and takes place on Saturday, April 8th. That's this weekend, from 7 to 11 p.m. It's a fundraiser, and it sure sounds like a lot of fun. Kobe, Marisol, welcome to the program. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Thank you.
Hi, good morning. Thank you.
Good morning to both of you. This is such a wonderful event. It is so well conceived. Kudos to your team at the ADM, the Automobile Driving Museum. It's just perfect for what you have and introducing people to the ADM. But Kobe, what I want to do is step back for people. Believe it or not, there are some people who don't know what the Automobile Driving Museum is, and they don't know how close it is. It's right here in the South Bay. So, Kobe, give us the overview. What is the Automobile Driving Museum?
The museum it focuses on American-made cars. So we have a lot of Packers, a lot of Fords, and we really showcase the development and history of the American automobile from 1886 all the way up to about the 1980s. So we have about 130 cars in our collection. We have always about 60 to 70 on display at any given time. And that's really the premise of our museum. The one thing that really makes us stand out as a museum from all of the other automobile museums in the country is that we actually allow people to ride in our cars on Sundays.
Right. Now, so the key is this. These are not just to look at. These are functioning, running automobiles from the 20s, the 30s. I mean, you guys even have some from the teens, don't you?
Correct, yes. All of them, 90% of our cars we consider driving cars in that they all have oil, they all have gas, and we do rotate them out so that they do stay functioning and lubricated so that they can run.
Right. Now, some of them are more comfortable than others, but this is so exciting. Marisol, I want to, you know, to give people a sense of what it's like to be in a living, driving museum. Marisol, what was the first vehicle that you rode in that you said to yourself, wow, I never thought I'd ever drive or ride in a vehicle like this?
Oh, geez, we have so many cars that that are really amazing. I would probably say our 1959 Cadillac convertible. It is extremely long. It's really beautiful. It's a white with baby blue interior, and the fins on that car are just amazing. I've never seen fins so high on a car. I've actually been able to drive it. I've got the luxury to do that. So it was cool taking it to El Segundo, to Ralph. The people were just, you know, giving me the thumbs up asking me how I even got this car, because I don't look like somebody who would already own a car so nice. So it's great. This car, I think, has really like set the standard for me of the museum and made me realize that, you know, this place is really special, and you're not going to find any place like this anywhere else in the U.S. And it's true.
That's so true. I've been there. I've done the drive. I've done the Sunday drive. Right. I do that when I have family or friends visiting. I'll take them up there on a Sunday morning. And it's a great museum. It's a beautiful museum. The cars are up close, you know. I mean, they're right there. You can really – and, I understand that. You also took away the velvet ropes. Is that true, Kobe, a little while ago?
Correct. About a year ago, we did a transition of how we lay out our cars, and we really wanted to make the cars much more approachable and accessible to the public. So we took down all the ropes and all the stanchions so the guests can really walk amongst the cars and really kind of go down their memory lane and experience the car for what it used to be. We do allow people to open the doors and get in the cars with some assistance from our docents. And they can do that while the cars are on the museum floor. It doesn't just have to be during the ride program.
Yeah, it's Joe, have you ever done the Sunday drive there?
No, we were planning on it. It didn't work out with my wife's parents, but no, I haven't done it yet. I'm going to. I love it. It's there forever, I hope.
Yeah, you have to do it. You know, it's you just said it, your wife's parents. My mother is of a certain age, you know, but I think particularly people of a certain age really appreciate this stuff. They were cars that they grew up in, you know, and you're like, oh, my grandfather had one of these, or my neighbor had one of these, you know, when they were actually out there on the street and people drove them. It really is a trip down memory lane.
It's amazing. It's wonderful. So, Marisol, how did you... As a young professional, how did you get involved with the ADM?
Well, to be honest with you, I was looking for a new museum job. I didn't like my current one, well, the one that I had, and I was working at the Natural History Museum in Los Angeles. And I didn't really like it because there was too many team members and not enough, you know, but there wasn't enough interaction with our customers. I felt like it was just kind of like, get them in the door, don't, you know, converse with them. And I didn't really like that. So I was looking for a new museum where it was smaller. I've been in smaller museums as well. I've also been at the Natural History Museum in Santa Barbara, and I've worked for UCSB's kind of like a natural history museum. It was more cataloging. So I've seen what it was to be interacting with, you know, a person and showing them firsthand, like educating firsthand. So I found this museum and I thought it was interesting. I've never really been in the car world. I've always been a natural person. So I applied and I got the job and, right away they just threw me in there and I automatically had to start learning about cars. And, Ever since that day, I really liked it because I actually get to give tours. I get to, you know, be in the front desk. I do, summer camps, We even do all these events in the weekends that, you know, just gets all the spectrum of the adults and children and older people, and it's really nice seeing it, the museum, be used as a great educational example for everybody.
You know, Joe,
I can hear the excitement in your voice, Maricel. There's something special about this museum that keeps this American tradition, you know, alive. There is something special about that. Jackie?
Yeah, you know what I was going to say? It's interesting because I imagine that when you're coming out of school, whatever you studied, if you're going to school to learn the law, you want to be a lawyer, you're always thinking that you want to go work for one of the big law firms, right? In your case, you know, getting into museums, you think, oh, I want to go work at a big museum, a world famous museum. And that's all well and good, but there's something to be said for the smaller outfit.
Yeah,
and it goes back to that being the small fish in the big pond or being the big fish in the small pond. There's something to be said for being the big fish in the small pond. And you said it very well. You're more hands-on. You get to interact more. Whereas with a bigger outfit, your hands are a little more tied. I love that.
Thank you.
Now, Kobe, you have a lot of experience with lots of different venues and international sports management. How did you come to the Driving Museum?
Well, I actually relocated from Virginia about 2 years ago. And so when I came, I was looking for a job in the events industry and with the business. And I just was very fortunate. I applied for a position here at the museum that was initially part-time, and they were able and willing to recognize the experience that I had and the knowledge that I could bring to the museum to really expand the events side of the business. So they brought me on, and we've been able to make some improvements and really kind of grow the special events business of the museum, which has been very fortunate, and I've been excited about it.
At every opportunity, I love to promote a website called RedondoBeachWeddings.org, which is a brilliant collaboration between the Redondo Beach Chamber and their members to promote weddings in Redondo Beach. But what about a wedding at the Automobile Driving Museum? Have you guys had weddings there?
Absolutely. I have on average anywhere between 5 and 8 weddings a year, actually, that book here.
Wow! I thought that was my idea.
And unfortunately, no, other people have had it. It's the thing that's nice to see is that it's not necessarily always people who love cars who have their weddings here. So you get that wide mix of people who are very into cars and have car themes as part of their weddings and decor. And then you have other people who are just wanting the facility and the ballroom to use for their wedding. So you get more elaborate decor and ceremonies that really have nothing to do with cars, but we're able to accommodate what they need and what they're looking for within our space.
Right. Wow. That is, that's really utilizing the nexus of event planning and the Automobile Driving Museum to create a third thing that is greater than the sum of the parts, a third whole, because I know for a fact my office, my company, I'm no longer there, but for many years, Internet Brands, a large internet development company, had their corporate company meetings there at the Automobile Driving Museum. And it has a great sort of feel to it, obviously, and it has a great space for corporate meetings. Can you talk a little bit about that, Kobe?
Yeah, what we have is we have several different spaces that can be utilized for meetings or for events. One is our ballroom, which it can sit 250 people. We can do cocktail style. We can do plated, whatever format you're looking for the event, we can accommodate. The thing that's nice is that because you get access to the museum floor, it really gives your event and your guests something to talk about and something to look at, especially during your breaks. If you have breakout sessions for the day, or you know, you're doing an all-day seminar here and you have a lunch period and you want to give your guests a bit of a break, they can wander around and look at the cars and really give themselves some kind of eye candy other than what a regular hotel would give you. And then we have also smaller spaces that can accommodate smaller events if need be, and we have outdoor spaces that can be utilized as well. So we really have tried to make it very versatile on what you want to do and to accommodate any kind of concept that you have. So if you just tell me what you want, I'll say yes or no, depending on the complexity of the logistics, and we can go from there.
Right. Fantastic. So I just wanted to make sure, Jackie, why don't we do a station break? I'll give out the number, and then we'll go right into this event coming up in just a couple of days. What do you say?
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, and we're talking jalopies at the Juice Joint with Kobe Apri and Marisol Rios. We're talking about the Automobile Driving Museum. What a jewel here in the South Bay. Perhaps in my we've actually had the Automobile Driving Museum on several times throughout the years. I think it might be the finest collection of period automobiles anywhere in the country. I know that there are some professional museums, and there's the Peterson Automobile Museum and so forth, but those vehicles don't move. And there is something amazing about they don't move. I mean, they're beautiful.
I know.
Isn't that right, Jackie?
They just stand there looking at you.
They just stand there looking at you. This is a special place. And we've got to get young people involved. We've got to get the chop shop and motorcycle guys and all these people interested in the Automobile Driving Museum and interested in getting involved, because this is really a special thing. If you'd like to call in, if you're listening live, please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. Maybe you could have a career taking care of some of the most beautiful machines ever made. Maybe you could have a career maintaining them, or learning how to fix them, or creating parts for them. Some of these parts are not available anymore, so they actually have to be fabricated, which is a whole other amazing thing about the Automobile Driving Museum. I don't know how much you know about that, Kobe, but can you tell us a little bit about the maintenance of the vehicles? For instance, this concept of fabricating parts that are not made anymore. The companies are long gone out of business, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago. How is that possible?
Well, the maintenance of our vehicles is actually done by a fabulous team of volunteers. They are men, mostly men. Some of them are we do have a few women who are mechanics, and that's what they know, is they know how to fix these older cars. They know how to diagnose them. They know how to source the parts. So we rely on them really to come in on a daily, weekly basis to just check over the cars and make sure that they're running appropriately and fix them as they unfortunately will wear down and decide not to work for a particular day for some reason. And so I don't know how they source them. Sometimes they're able to find obscure places where they're able to get a part, or they do have, we do have some docents who are able to manufacture parts for us. And we're just very, very fortunate that we have an amazing team of volunteers who love to work and tinker with the cars, and that's what they do every day.
Right.
What an incredible opportunity that is. I think that is an incredible opportunity. I mean, I know that there are a lot of older people, you know, that collect or, you know, have vintage cars that enjoy that, you know, they do that on their weekends and stuff. And, but for kids doing a vocational on the vocational track that want to go into the automotive industry, you know, I'm just curious, do you get high schoolers that are interested, that once they become aware of the ADM and that come in that say, hey, I would love to work on these cars?
Absolutely. We actually have a few docents who are younger. One of our docents, Alec, he has been a docent of ours for about 10 years, and he just turned 21 just a few weeks ago. So he knows the ins and outs of some of the cars better than most people, and he helps to work on them, and you know, he's able to drive them, and he loves it. He comes in, and we love the energy that he brings because he is a younger person. And so we're always looking for, you know, younger docents, but he's a prime example of that.
So that was a 10-year-old kid that had a love of cars. He had his toy cars. He had his Matchbox cars and loved them, and somebody exposed him to the ADM. And he got in there, and he's just been all over it ever since. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Just a wealth of topics to cover, but we should get to this amazing event. So starting with you, Kobe, tell us about the genesis of this event and what we're going to experience on Saturday.
Well, the Jalopies at the Juice Joint is, as you've mentioned, our fundraiser, one of our fundraisers for the year. And what you will experience is we're going to have a swing band there. We'll have dancers who can actually give lessons. If you don't know how to swing dance, that's not a problem. There will be a lesson for you. We'll have food and beverages will be available to be purchased, and the other highlight of the event is we're having a tournament, a poker tournament. So if you like to, you know, gamble, you can take care of that side of your desires as well.
So how does that work? Now, is there a buy-in, and that's partly a donation or completely a donation? How does that work?
Correct. It's for the event, it's $85 a couple, and it's $50 a person. And when you buy the ticket, you get a certain amount of money as a buy-in for the tournament itself that you can utilize. And you can either do that or anything else. You don't have to participate in the tournament, obviously. And then as you go through, you can rebuy and purchase more chips and hopefully help raise some money for our fundraiser charity, which is actually El Camino College. We are contributing part of the proceeds to a scholarship that we are providing for a student who is deserving, and that will help pay for their expenses to go to the school for a year.
Okay. Okay. All right. Fantastic. This is so fun. Yeah.
Are people going to be dressed appropriately? Are we going to see zoot suits? Are we going to see flapper dresses? Are we going to see haircut bobs?
Hopefully you are encouraged to dress up in period costume. You are not required, obviously. I'm not sure if I'll be able to be dressing up in period costume just because of my condition right now. But hopefully we will see some fun costumes out there and people really getting into it. It's just supposed to be a fun night of people just being able to listen to some great music and have a good time.
And enjoy the juice.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. Oh, yes. Tell us about the juice.
Well, we have a distillery that is going to be providing our beverages for the night. It's Reuben's Distillery. They'll be serving beer and some mixed drinks, which are going to be period appropriate, of course.
Oh,
again,
Rob Reuben.
We've been there, Jackie, and we love that place.
Yes.
Reuben's Distillery. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
All local. An amazing event for the day, for the evening. And then will there be any what are the hours for the event? Again, 7 to 11?
Correct.
Okay, so it's not going to be the sun will be down at that time, so there won't be any actual riding in the cars.
Unfortunately,
yeah,
we can't give rides after dark, so we won't be doing that this evening.
But you
can
visit us on the Sunday afterwards.
Yeah, the Sunday afterwards. Right, but I can see guests, especially those that come in a period costume, taking a lot of pictures in those cars, I bet.
Oh, yeah.
They could, yes. We actually have a car that is a photo op car. It's a 1917 Overland that anyone can get into, including the little ones. So it'd be great to see anyone in period costume getting into that car and taking the pictures.
Oh, my God. This is so much fun. I was talking
to my wife about it. You're doing your Lent thing, Joe.
Yeah.
You can't go.
Yeah, there's something distinctly unlinty about this. It's going to be so much fun. No question. The drinking and we can't drink alcohol. Yeah. So the drinking and the jumping and it's amazing. It's amazing.
Carousing.
Yeah. What a joy. What a fun event. So, what would you say, Kobe, is the you're now firmly in the position of special events director for the Automobile Driving Museum? What is your focus going forward? This is a wonderful, amazing event. Lots of people are going to enjoy this tremendously. But as you move forward, what kinds of events are you looking at? What are some of the events on the drawing board?
That's a good question because my focus is always changing in regards to scope of size of events. We've traditionally had smaller events, and right now I'm focusing on how I can attract larger, more complex events to the venue. For example, we had an event last year that had it had almost 500 people here. So it's how do we logistically handle that and making the appropriate changes to the venue to be able to accommodate that. So that's kind of what I've been focusing on is, getting those improvements made to the museum and to the facility. So it's constantly showcasing itself in the best light to different size events and to really become the premier venue in the South Bay area, which is what my goal is to make this museum.
Joe?
I just wanted to say...
Well, I was going to ask Marisol and Kobe. Joe, years ago, we had a couple of gentlemen on the show. One of them was named Earl. I think they were the owners of the museum, Earl, mm-hmm. and somebody else. I can't remember the other person's name. And
Stanley.
Yes. They were hands on. They ran the ADM, and it was just
right.
a couple of years ago that they brought on Tara Hitzig, and
right.
and they decided to move it in a new direction. They've always had events there, but I think they wanted to hit the refresh button, and so they brought
yeah.
in Tara and Kobe and Marisol. Tell us a little bit about that, because I keep track of all the things that are going on there, Marisol. I mean, I know about the Cruising for a Bruising. You know, you have all these other events. I mean, over the years they did the Hot Wheels thing. They do that regularly. They do the drive-ins regularly. But they brought in some new blood to, as I said, hit the refresh button. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So pretty much I know last year or the years before, they've always done little events or maybe once every couple of months. I know we used to do the Hot Wheels every month, and we used to do maybe two or three car shows a year, which were like the Gassers and the Woodies.
Mm-hmm.
But we decided, though, because everybody loved the car shows, we decided to make a car show at least once a month. So every month we actually have a car show here at the museum. And then we also wanted to, you know, get a bigger audience, because I know a lot of people, or we know a lot of people, don't get off of work until 5 or 6 o'clock, and that's by that time the museum is closed. So we came up with opportunities to have an after hours at the museum, such as Cruising for a Bruising. We've done art walks. We've done long game Olympics, and we did beer tasting with the local South Bay breweries.
Mm-hmm.
We've also done, we switched up the Hot Wheels because we did it every month. Now we do it every other first Saturday of the month. And then in the ones that we don't do Hot Wheels, we do STEAM, which is science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics, which is something that we do for the kids. So they can learn about cars and do it, you know, learn the curriculum that they learn in school, but with cars, which is really, really fun. So, yeah, we've just been switching it up. We have an events calendar now, just on museum events, and then we give that to the sponsors, people who come in to the museum, and everybody starts to know about it. So we're always very busy. So you could always give us a call, and I could tell you the next five events here.
Yeah, that's STEAM. The STEAM programs are big, Joe. I mean, everybody is doing that now. I know Waterfront Education is doing that. The STEM
right.
and the STEAM programs have become, I mean, talk about reaching out to the next generation. Right?
Exactly. That's
right.
what we're trying to do.
Right. That's my only input. I mean, you guys are doing amazing. I think you're really, as Jackie said, hitting the reset button in a huge way and making it exciting again to be involved with the Automobile Driving Museum. It isn't just a place for people and, you know, relive the past, but to make new memories about the future and about these beautiful machines. But also, my only input would be to get more young people in there actually touching, polishing, working on them, continue the what you're doing, I guess, is just to make it a living, breathing place. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, you're right. And it sounds like you're really on the right track, ladies, because venues today, I mean, there are so many options. I mean, you know, Joe and I focus on the South Bay. You know, South Bay, it's fairly a small region in greater Los Angeles. But even just in the South Bay, there are so many options for venues available today. And, you know, a lot of people are thinking for years now. People have been thinking outside the box with regard to their weddings or bar mitzvahs or, you know, quinceañeras. I never know how to say that word. Joe, how do you say that word?
What?
Quinceañera. Yes, thank you. Yeah, so people are thinking outside
those
the box.
Those are huge.
It's not just the, it's not just the grand ballroom people are looking for anymore. They want something that's unique and different, and you're doing that. I mean, that's amazing.
Thank you.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, I think
so.
Yeah.
When you think, Marisol, we talked a little bit about how you got involved with the Automobile Driving Museum. You'd had previous museum experience. Do you think that there are opportunities for others to come and to work at the Automobile Driving Museum? And is the workload there for more people to get involved? I mean, actually, to get employment there. Is the workload there?
Well, there is a lot of work to do always. I would say, yeah, you could, you know, come and apply at the museum. And if, you know, if you're a perfect fit, if you fit in our team, then we give you a call. We do have a lot of work all the time. It's just like, you know, I'm also like, you know, the docent manager and marketing operations. I'm a jack of all trades. So if we could get a little workload off, that would be great. But yeah, if anybody would be interested, they'd be more than welcome to contact us.
Fantastic. Well, Kobe, we have covered many of the areas that I really wanted to cover. We've talked about a lot of different things. Are there some things we haven't covered that you'd like people to know about the Automobile Driving Museum or about what the potential is for events there?
Offhand, I think we've covered just about everything. Just kind of
right.
Like how you were just mentioning that, you know, we're looking to draw in younger people into the museum through the doors, whether they're helping or just having that exposure to the cars. One of the things I think I just wanted to mention is that with the events, I am seeing a trend of younger people having their events here. We have quite a few bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs and quinceañeras, and your parents will have their child's first birthday, second birthday, third birthday here as well. So it is nice to see that we're not just getting, you know, the birthday parties or that are for 50 and 60-year-olds or the retirement parties,
right.
But we're getting
right.
That younger generation getting exposed to the cars, and they really like it. I mean, sometimes they don't necessarily, you know, the initial thing is not to have it at a museum like this one because it is cars, but their guests appreciate it. And their guests see
right.
That it's a really cool venue and that it's a cool experience. And so having their events here really helps broaden the exposure to the public, which is really nice to see.
I have high hopes. I have high hopes, and I can only see huge futures for the Automobile Driving Museum as a destination. I think it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger once the word gets out of how special it is and how, you know, unique it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think you guys have a bright future. But along with that, I want to give people a sense of the kind of music that they're going to hear when they come for this event. And can you tell us what's the name of the band that's going to be playing?
It's Esquires is the name. It's actually a music foundation. It's really a cool organization. What they do is they will teach people, young people especially, how to play big band music. So they take them in, they foster them with their knowledge and their experience of big band music, and that's really That's what they do, and they're great. They were here for the centennial, for the El Segundo Centennial Ball, and they're absolutely phenomenal group.
How do they have a website?
They do. It is. I actually just had it up recently. I think I don't know it offhand, though.
Okay, but,
if you go to Esquire's Music Foundation, that's how you can find them, and they are nonprofit.
Okay, while Joe is looking for
I have it.
Got it.
Go for it.
Oh, okay.
Well,
it's
really easy. It's esquires.org.
All right. I was just going to say, Kobe, would you give us the location, address, website, phone number? Give us all of the contact information, you know, if anybody wants to come by or buy tickets for this event. Give us all of the ABM contact info, please.
The address is 610 Lairport Street in El Segundo, California, and the phone number is 310-909-0950. And the website is www.theadm.org.
Okay, so everybody can just go to the website. You can see what they've got. You can see what cars they're going to be driving this weekend. Every week, I know you guys put up the cars you're going to take out on Sunday. So people can pick and choose what day they want to go to see what cars they can drive in. And, Joe, you going to play some music? Is that what you're doing?
I am. That's what I'm going to do. Now, I was going for some period music, but I thought I would feature Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
Ooh.
Big Bad Voodoo. Ooh. Do you guys know this band?
I like them. I do.
I know them.
Big Bad Voodoo Daddy's contemporary swing revival band from Southern California. They're local, somewhat. They began were formed in Ventura, California in 1989 by leader Scotty Morris. And I will leave you to explore their history a little bit more. But this is one of their signature songs. Without further ado, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
that. Get us in the mood.
Yes, yes, yes. Get us in the mood. That, you know, there's something about this. I had not known about the Esquire Music Foundation. Esquires.org, originally proposed by Stan Kenton to Paul Kolaluka. And this is amazing that young people are being taught this kind of dance music that was huge in the 30s and 40s. For kids that don't know, yeah, this was before TV. So there wasn't TV. There was no internet. There was no internet. There was no YouTube. There was no Instagram.
There was barely a phone.
People actually did go out in the evenings for maybe a couple hours, and they had plenty of time to get home, you know, go have dinner, go out for a couple hours, get home, maybe, you know, I don't know, play a game, and then it's time for bed. But, I mean, people could actually go out during the week and maybe go dancing for a couple hours, and it wasn't a huge drain on the family's time because there was no, like, internet and no TV and stuff like that.
Yes, when we ruled our lives, our own lives.
Yeah, it's amazing. Kobe, Marisol, we're so glad that you guys could join us today.
Thank you.
Kobe, I just want to give you a minute to tell us what it means for the Automobile Driving Museum. What it means to us as a society to keep these machines, these cars alive and breathing and running.
Oh, I think it's really important to people to understand the evolution of vehicles, especially in the American history, and how they've really kind of changed the way the American culture is, as well as, you know, just the evolution of the design of cars, and to be able to see what the original car looked like, and to see how it was driven back in 1886 to see how the car now looks in 2017. If you don't have the history to look at, there's no way for you to have the imagination to create something new for the future. So I think it's really important
right.
that you have that basis to be able to look back so you can look forward. And that's what we provide.
Right. Right. Unbelievable. Fantastic event coming up, ladies and gentlemen, just a couple of days from now. And what a bargain. $85 for a couple. Is that right? What are the costs again?
Correct. Yes. It's $85 for a couple and $50 for a single person.
$50 for a single person. And Marisol, what's the phone number again so people can get tickets?
Yeah, it's 310-909-0950.
All right. Amazing, amazing, amazing. And also theadm.org, or if you like typing, automobiledrivingmuseum.org. Fantastic. Thank you so much, both of you. It's been a great show, and it's going to be a great event. We look forward to promoting this event, and hopefully lots and lots of people will show up who are not celebrating Lent or not fasting. And, of course, thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
Tomorrow is going to be Gil Garcetti, the former DA of Los Angeles, on the South Bay Show. Don't miss it. We'll see you tomorrow for Gil Garcetti. Bye-bye now.